when one chants properly, one will naturally feel compassion. One will be relieved of one's false position in the material world as the enjoyer and proprietor and controller and even so-called best friend. And when one actually begins to revive his relationship with Krishna and feel that reciprocation, he can appreciate the difference, you know, between that life, which is real life, and that love, which is real love, from the artificial endeavor to exist in the material world and enjoy in the material world. And then one naturally wants to help others. You know, if you're, you know, and that can take different forms, you know, according to what your service is or what your mission is meant to be. But a lot of what influences a person to take to Krishna consciousness is what they see in the lives of the devotees. They may appreciate the philosophy, but they will look at the devotees and they'll see what is the result of Krishna consciousness, of the endeavor to become Krishna conscious. And if they see that the devotees are exemplary in their own lives and happy, then they will be more inclined to take up the process. And most people want to be happy in the material world. In Chatur Vidapa Jantiman, different categories of people come to Krishna. And very few come because they're seeking the absolute truth. Many, they're in distress, they want relief, or they're in some material need. So they want to be happy. They want to be happy in their marriages. They want to be happy in their family lives. They want to be happy. So if they see devotees are happy, that the marriages are successful, that the relationships between the parents and children are congenial, and that everyone can be happy together in Krishna consciousness, the parents, the children, the grandparents, it's something everyone can do together and be happy, then they'll get encouraged. So, making the devotee community strong, helping the devotee community to be better situated in Krishna consciousness is also part of preaching. You know, we teach by example. It's true, in the old days we really did have the spirit of going out and preaching to new people, bringing new people to Krishna. Gurudas Prabhu told a story that after being in Vrindavan some time for the Krishna Balaram temple, some devotees suggested he take a bus out, like a traveling party, and preach and distribute books. But at the same time, he really liked Vrindavan. He also wanted to stay in Vrindavan. and he couldn't decide between these two. And finally, he approached Srila Prabhupada, and he said, I'm being torn, because I want to preach, but at the same time, I also want to stay in Vrindavan, and I don't know how to reconcile the two. I don't know which to choose. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, about staying in Vrindavan and preaching to the devotees. The devotees also need to be nourished. But we do need to do both. We do need to do both. And again, depending on our particular service, our particular mission, you know, someone might preach or minister to existing devotees more, someone might preach or minister to new people more. But we do need to do both, there's no doubt. And, you know, bringing new people to Krishna pleases Krishna, and we get more mercy from Krishna. And when new people come, we also get encouraged to be better examples. We all know when we have a program at home, then we really clean the house very nicely and do things better than we do just for ourselves. So having new people come, it does encourage us. It's hard to preach to new people because they're so covered. But if we just make the effort, Krishna is pleased. And Jadumi Swami told a story in San Diego. We were both there together a few Sundays ago. He used to like to surf. Was a California boy, and one year he went to Mexico, where they have these, like, I think he said, like a mile long wave, something extraordinary. Of course, San Diego, you do get surfers in the audience, so I think he was conscious of that. So he went way out to catch that wave. And as he was riding the wave in toward the shore, he saw, like, a lot of people on the shore frantically waving and shouting and crying, and it was a terrible scene. And what had happened is a 12-year-old girl had been carried away by a current that takes you out. Is that riptide? What's riptide? She's carried away by riptide. And he looked and he saw there was a body. There was a body in the water. And he had been trained as a lifeguard, so he went and got the body. And like her face was down and she was sort of blue, but he could see she was still alive. And so he carried her in to shore. And on shore, he gave her artificial resuscitation. But actually, she had left her body between the time he got her and the time he got to the shore, she left her body. But he didn't have the heart, like, to tell friends and family. So he continued going through the motions of giving the artificial resuscitation. And then, like, they called the medics, and the medics came and they pronounced her dead. But he was making the point that he made the effort. Not always successful, but he made the effort. And the people appreciated it. So, in the same way, we have to make the effort to preach. We may not always be successful in convincing someone, but we have to make the effort. And Srila Prabhupada made the same point in a talk in Mayapur about Jatayu, you know, the bird devotee, that when Ravana came to kidnap Sita, Jatayu challenged him. But because Ravana was so powerful materially, and also Jatayu was old, Ravana defeated him. And he still, you know, absconded with Sita. But when Lord Ramchandra came and saw Jatayu, he saw that this devotee, you know, gave his life for my service. It wasn't a question that he, from the external point of view, he was successful or not. What Ramachandra saw was that he gave his life for my service. And so he, you know, he accepted Jatayu as his dearmost devotee. He personally performed the funeral service just like a son performs for a father. And Prabhupada told that story in relation to preaching, that we may not be successful in every case because the materialistic mentality is very powerful now. But if we make the effort, Krishna will be pleased. So, actually, all of these processes reinforce each other. Attentive chanting will make us more internally, more established in Krishna consciousness, and it will make us more compassionate, make us, you know, more eager to help others. And another thing about humility is that in the humble mood, the devotee feels, you know, I have this perfect knowledge, I have this perfect process, but I'm so unfortunate, I'm not taking proper advantage of it. But here's some new person. He's probably more sincere than I am. So if I give him this knowledge and process, you know, he or she may actually prosecute it properly. And that will please Krishna. So, that's an important point. Anyone else like to add anything?
Not adding the question. If there's no other revision. Do we have time for another question?
Yeah, we have 10 minutes.
Well, you were talking about the Krishna accepting us and loving us as we are.
Yes.
In that point, a question came up in relation to the 10th offense of the Holy Name. When we, despite of hearing so many instructions about mutual attachments, we somewhat ignore and we don't work on it. How is that relating?
Very good question. The tenth offense is translated to not have complete faith in the holy name. To maintain material attachments. To not have complete faith in the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. So, if we have faith in Krishna, in the holy name, we won't hold on to material attachments because we'll know that our heart's deepest desires can be fulfilled by Krishna, by the holy name. And if we don't have complete faith in the holy name or in Krishna, then we'll think, I need to hold on to these material things in order to be happy. Now, it's not an offense to have material attachments. We come with material attachments. It's an offense to maintain them. It's an anartha to have material attachments, but it's not an offense to have them. But it is an offense to maintain them. So if we don't hold on to them, and if we chant with the effort to hear and not commit any other offense, then that will clear the anarthas, anartha nivritti, that will clear the material attachment. But that's also a subtle point, because sometimes from the facial expressions I can see that devotees might be worried about the idea that they can't maintain material attachments, because they think that they might have to give up something that they're not ready to give up. But we don't necessarily have to give up the thing, but we just have to change the consciousness in relation to the thing. Like, say, husband and wife. Okay, well, that could be a material attachment. But the relationship between the husband and wife isn't necessarily material. I mean, there might be a material element to it, but it can also be spiritual, and it can, as we progress, it can become more and more spiritual and less material. So it's not a question of giving up the relationship with the husband or wife, but it's a matter of purifying it. Same with parents and children and parents. If the center of the relationship is Krishna, genuinely, then the relationship is spiritual, and then it's not a material attachment. I mean, there might be an element of it, but in essence, it's not a material attachment. The same applies to anything. Our house. We shouldn't be attached to the house for sense gratification, but if we see the house as Krishna's and that it's meant for serving Krishna, then so everything. Anasa deha geha yoki chumor arapiva padatui nandakishore. You know, Thakur says, Manasa, my mind, Deha, my body, Geha, my house, household paraphernalia, family, Yokichumor, whatever little I have, I surrender to the lotus feet of Nandakishore. Doesn't mean that he abandons them, but he surrenders them to Krishna and engages them in relation to Krishna. Then they're not, then that those attachments aren't necessarily impediments. And there are also different phases of life. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. So different conditions are, required in different statuses of life. But the essential point is, to focus our energy on our relationship with Krishna.